against the fire in the Haggadaya. Break it so to fire in the Ibadaga Hashke Bumbadaya. Oh, Bendy Gagadina Gabara de Gahash to Vina Haya. Ilonundi Gas to Pruvian the Harakos to Pina Hagadana. Berino Gosta. Ish to Brigine Varagino, Aubregida Varanino. Break it so Shakto Vini Mamaragadi, the whole fret. X is all about a higher go to Haggis or Nombia. You've heard many say, oh, they are running without purpose. You've heard many say, they're noisemakers. You've heard many say, oh. This so-called revelation of Christ will not last. You've heard many say, oh, they are just noisemakers. Oh, it will die out gradually. They have said, ha 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 ha. Yeah, listen to the voice of the Spirit. For the Spirit says, this revelation of Christ will get yet louder. Yeah, louder, yeah. Louder. Yeah. 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 It will get louder still. Louder, now not in places where it has been known. But if we get louder in places of deep darkness. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It will not just be Christianity as usual, but it will be Christ now. Yeah. It will be Christ sounding so loudly like the voice of a trumpet. Yeah, for many will come. Yeah, for even those who have mocked at the sincerity of the gospel, even those who have mocked, oh, at the strength of the light that will shine, they will come. They will come, and they also will embrace the light. For there is much light being shed all around. Yeah, yeah, for this is my plan, saith God, to light up every dark corner. Yeah, so look all around you and look to the darkness. The darkness is big. The darkness is growing great. Just laugh. Just laugh. Yeah, fetunge. Asufibine ongo bondida. Hakaku. Prini bobo brogo. Brandi giga haga do. Oh, is to vivi naga boko. Vila ha. Teish lo viga. For every mystery will be removed. Mystery will be removed from that which is called the supernatural. Mysteries will be removed. Every mysteriousness will be removed from the world. Every mysteriousness will be removed from the gospel. Yeah. For God will not any longer entertain any form of mysteriousness about his person. For God will be known in clarity and great power all over the world. Yeah. So keep not shut your mouth. Keep not shut your mouth. For through your mouth, the trumpet of his word will sound. Yeah. For look around you now. It's already sounding so loudly. It's sounding so loudly. Yeah. And it will sound louder still. Louder still. On to big on dragash to figo bo bo bi ago bo bo bi banaya ogi baba voni gi the harder to ubi elivigo. And the young will say to the old, have you known Jesus in this light? And the old will say to the young, have you known Jesus in this light? For all men will know him. For all men will see him. For all eyes will see him. Firo baragoro shabo rigo bo vidiga ago bruni gi the froto bigalo irini the vrakto four in the bow ectus the viga agabodo. Rande upushte fubananda obron drome kilo brahaka dubina hara. Oh, yeah. For I've paid a great price for you, said God. I've paid a great price for my redeemed, said God. Yeah. And now men are taking wings, just running, just running, just running, just running. They are running with purpose, running with light, and they are running with speed too. For that which the Lord does upon the earth, he's doing it quickly, and he's doing it through men. Yeah. And men are trooping in from all corners. For that which the Lord does comes with much urgency. Yeah. So preach the gospel with urgency in your voice. Preach it with urgency in your spirit. Yeah. For the man who preaches with urgency, he preaches and makes much power available. Yeah. Do the work of ministry with much urgency. Pray with much urgency. Teach with much urgency. Yeah. Heal with much urgency. Folondiga, agogi, eligigi vigofaga bombo, ilimombo, kule shaki, eligos, endofacti, acti vigido bohoka. For I am not aware of the darkness overcoming the light. For it is not written so. For it is not known so. So go out bearing the emblem of my light. For you indeed are the emblem of my light. Let not your mouth be short. Let not your mouth be short. And let not your nails be feeble. Only Bahashke do believe that the Bolo Elimingo Froko Diesel. For many have grown weary, so to speak. Yeah, because they have neglected strength. Not because they don't have strength, but so now take up your strength. Put on your strength. Oh, bo fig and regid over, and you will run. And you will run. and you will run, and you will run, and many shall be brought in, and many shall be brought in, and many shall be brought in, and you will run. Ah, and at the last, you will laugh. Ha, 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 ha. Ah, ha, alabo, si, komono. Pray in other tongues. Say, full man. Kul min varadosh. Oh, people, frata. All over the world. All over the world. All over the world. All over the world. Oh, she, papanda. Three. Oh, people from the geese fryer. Baranomba do the gida haskus. She better than me get the gig over gida haga diadons. Break it over non the gida. Oh, Baban the goose provide. Oh, speak of Randrakara. Testo, Pecto, Frito, Peremito, Frito, Vori, Exo, Frigo, Fule, Zilo, Parinosuki, Badaya. Oh, Mseki, Domse, Totse, Zuste, from the Brick to Frele, Diesel. Oh, Kilomondes. La pata ligo varo, exon de kibo rakata, prendro munke sufragila. Hey, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. For my people shall not grow weary, for the church of Christ will not grow weary. It will not wax old as a garment waxes old, but it's being renewed by strength day by day. For there is a renewal that is coming upon my body. There is a renewal. It's a renewal of strength. A renewal of strength that comes by much light. So be giving to much light. For where there is much light, there is much strength. Yeah, for my power is seen in the light. For he that walks in the light, he walks in much power. Kirinombobogu, Viniki, Tufarakti, Erimondradai, Oko, Ope, Kubandi, Hagadoya, Idivinovoku, Fridina Haku, Tu, Enzubiga. You've heard of the exceeding greatness of my power. You have read of it, you have sung of it, and you have rejoiced with it even. You have heard indeed of the exceeding greatness of my power. But you must know that the exceeding greatness of my power, it works by exceeding great light. For where there is much light, there is much power made available. So go not about and seek not some mediums that don't bring about my power. Go not about, walk in darkness and ask men, how shall I do the miracles? How shall I bring men in? How shall I move in the power of God? No, 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 no. Don't be busy with that. Be busy with the light. For the man who is busy with the light is busy with God. The man who is busy with light is busy with God. So get busy with the light. For where there is much light, there is much power. So live in the light. Talk in the light. Pray in the light. Walk in the light. Yeah. For there is a light rising up. So mighty, mighty, mighty within you. Yeah. And many shall walk in this light. And many shall sing in this light. And many shall rejoice in this light. For where there is light, Christ is made known with clarity and great power. Yeah. So rejoice in the light. Rejoice in the light. Speak in the light. Walk in the light. Run in the light. Live in the light. Talk in the light. Flow in the light. For this is the day of the light. It's the day of the light. But there is a long day stretched out before you. It's a long day that has no darkness. Yeah, you have come into that long day. It's a long day of my grace and peace. It's a long day of righteousness. It's a long day of strength and power. Walk in this long day, say God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, glory to God. Praise Christ, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory to God. 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 We are excited. Yeah. 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 Glory. 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 Woo. Yeah. 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 And the hour has come. Ah. Tell your neighbor, the hour has come. The hour has come. Come on, talk in other tongues for 2 months. For 2 minutes, prepare your heart to receive the word. Talk in tongues for 2 minutes. Prepare your heart again to receive the word. Shakabon de Giro Hofrades. Light shines on every gray area. Pray, pray. Sherumande Ixotuze is a festival of light. It's a festival of light. Shaktilo Vobanda is a festival of revelation. It's a festival of light. Shagedo sume kitaya. Iprokuse sizo. Say, Lord, I feast in the light. Pray. I feast in the light. Shagava. owns a Shaktabaya, Lezu Kesu Peki Solo, Parinex, 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 Pendesh Kose, Bino Kosiza, Erebiga Daya Gashala Bie, Iko Bo, Sede Bina Karada, Exu Dego Sule Pia, Sonde Gribo Holos. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. We have come to the revelation of light. We have come to the festival of light, rather. Yeah, it's a festival of light. Amen. Light shining on every gray area. One thing is certain. Today, tomorrow, no gray area will be left. For the light of Christ will flood every area. For we have come into the festival of light. The festival of the revelation of Christ. Hallelujah. And God's servant is in the house today. Come on, rejoice, 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 rejoice. Come on, come on, you can do better, you can do better, you can do better, you can do better. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Pastor Seko has been so much of a blessing to me. Now, the first time I listened to Pastor Seko was 2012. Amen. And from that time up till now, one thing is certain, consistency. Amen. Consistency. And that is our heart cry for this meeting, that men will come. And they will come into a place of consistency in the light. Consistency in the light. That 5, 10, 20, 30, 40 years, we are known for the same thing. And now that is what we have come to receive. And the man of God has come to shed light in our heart. See, there is a way to sit under ministries. Don't allow any form of distraction. Put tongues under your breath. Amen. Amen. Put it under your breath and you are attentive. Like Pastor said, don't allow any phrase to pass you by. Don't miss phrases. Don't miss phrases. Amen. Amen. With Jesus' joy in your heart, let us receive the ministry of Pastor Seko.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Let's say together, I'm a temple of His glory. I'm a temple of His light. I'm a temple of His life. I walk in the glory of God. I flow in the Spirit. I am sensitive to things spiritual. The things of the Spirit are real to me. I acknowledge the Lordship of the world. I'm a man of the world. I'm a man of the Spirit. I am not afraid or dismayed. I do not chicken out or turn out badly. For the greater one is in me today. In Abuja about 2 years ago, and it's exciting to be with the brethren, the saints, again. There is no greater place to be than where saints are gathered. Hallelujah. Any good thing could happen. Amen. Any good thing could happen. You know, I must appreciate Christ's Signature and Edifying Assembly, you know, for making it possible for us to be here today. You know, we do not take it for granted, you know, and I trust that we'll have some exciting times together in God, His Word, and His Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. I bring you greetings from all that is dear to me, all the way from England, and from that endless fellowship of saints that believe in God's word. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's say together, God's word forever. God's word forever. Christ explained forever. Miracles forever. Doggedness forever. Doggedness forever. Ha ha ha. Well, somebody said, is that funny? Well, if that's not funny, what else is? Amen. Hallelujah.
Well, very quickly, let me just do some groundwork. I brought, there's a book that I wrote sometime early this year. It's called Saints and Ministers. Yeah. Everybody here interested in the pursuit of ministry, and that means all of you, yeah, try lay your hands on this. Okay. We don't have too many copies here. But should you not be able to get a copy today and you want a copy, just reach out to the leaders that convened the meeting. We'll find a way to get it back, to get it out to you. Okay? It's Saints and Ministers. Yeah, get it. To go with that, so here's another one, Generosity. It was written as a precursor to this one. Yeah. So in order to make the best use of what you read in this, I was going here, but then I wrote this. Okay? So it's, yeah, and then after this, there's a third part, yeah? So, it's a marathon, it's not a sprint, okay? So, try and get us books, yeah? Read it until the copy you have tears, then read again, okay? And then we, 2 weeks ago, so this in Europe and in America and every part of the world they've not seen. So your eyes will be the first to see this. So, it's called Navigating the Scriptures. Yeah, it's effectively a survey of the Bible. How do you read the Bible? How do you read without a veil of unbelief? How do you make sense of Scripture? How will it not look to you like these guys are always just plucking things out of thin air and they tell us that's what it means? Who knows if it's that way anyway? Okay, so please get that also. And then a couple of years ago, there was this Enriched in All Utterance. Yeah, I like doing a lot of utterance. Yeah, so Enriched in All Utterance. And then you have one here for every girl and every man that loves a girl. Yeah, and then for those men that don't love girls too and girls that don't love themselves, Rediscovering Women. Okay, it's seeing the woman in Christ. So I encourage you all, get it. Praise God. Amen. So they'll be available to us afterwards. Let's agree in prayer. Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus, we do lend our spirits to the Spirit of the living God within us, that out through the vessel of our being, you pour forth your wisdom with clarity tonight. Thank you for, we have wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of that Spirit that you've so richly given to us in redemption. And we thank you for the burden of ignorance is dematerialized to your glory. And everybody says, amen, amen. Praise God. Well, if you have your Bible there with you, and I know you do, you want to open very quickly with me to Galatians and chapter 5. Galatians and chapter 5. Galatians. If you're there, say, oh me. Galatians 5. Galatians chapter 5. I'm going to read verse 14. It says, for all the law, look at verse 13. Brethren, ye have been called unto what? You have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. What do we do to one another? Now turn to your neighbor and say, it is my desire to be of service to you. It is my greatest joy to serve you. Now, so it says in Galatians 5:14, it says, or verse 13, brethren, you have been called unto liberty, only use not your liberty for an occasion to the flesh. In other words, the liberty that you have in Christ Jesus does not have any resurrection power supplied to the flesh. Yeah, it doesn't supply any liberation, any freedom, any ease. Yeah, the Spirit does not make things of the flesh easy. It says, do not use your liberty as an occasion for the flesh. The work of Christ does not empower the flesh. So do not use it as any occasion for the flesh. Yeah, but by law. Somebody say by law. By love, serve one another. Now, if you didn't hear anything else tonight, just remember that phrase. By love, serve one another. By love, serve one another. So love is a true reason for liberty. Yeah, the real reason for the liberty that we have in Christ is so that we can serve. Yeah, the reason for liberty is so that we can serve, because we are no longer under the power of the flesh. The flesh has nothing on us. Yeah, so it says here in verse, look at verse 14. For all the law, somebody say all the law. All the law is fulfilled. That means it's brought to its end goal, or it's brought to its conclusion. All the law is fulfilled in what? All the law is fulfilled in one message, in one logic. It's fulfilled in one word, even in these. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thy what? It's fulfilled in one word. And what is that word? What is that message? Thou shalt love your neighbor as yourself. That's why Paul then said, by love serve one another. By love, serve. So all that Moses or Malachi or Zephaniah or Daniel or Ezekiel were trying to say is, by love serve one another, or by God's love, yeah, serve another man. The love of God is his service to man, and that love in you is your service to others. By love serve. It says all the law. All the law. Even if what you are reading is what is the length of a temple. Even if you are reading about what is the dimension of a land that was given to the people of Zebulun, or to the tribe of Naphtali, or to the tribe of Joseph. Now, what those things really are saying is that you serve others. Yeah, it says by love serve one another. What do we do again by love? Serve one another. How can I tell that I understand the love of God? I serve others. I serve others. By love, I serve others. Look at Romans 13. Romans and chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. I'm going to read to you verse 8. Romans 13. Romans 13. And I'm going to read to you verse 8. Are you there? It says, owe no man anything but to love what? One another. Owe no man anything but to love one another. In other words, you owe people to love them. Owe no man anything but to love one another. So love is a debt you owe. It says, for he that loveth another has fulfilled. That's that word again. Has brought out the true intention and the true meaning of the law. Yeah, when the law talks about not owing, it means that you are to owe love. You owe love, and you always seek to pay the love debt. Yeah, that's the message of the law. Now, if you look at 1 John chapter 3, 1 John and chapter 3, I'm going to read to you verse 11. For this is the message that you heard from the what? This is the message that you heard from the beginning. That's from Genesis. So, in other words, this is what Moses was teaching. This is what Moses was trying to explain. This is the message that you've heard from the beginning, that you should do what? Love one another. So let me ask you, was Moses a messenger of love or not? Yeah? This is the message you've heard from the beginning. What if I hear Moses and I didn't hear that? Look at Matthew 19. Matthew 19. Somebody says, well, Sekou, I don't really believe that Moses is a minister of love. Look at Matthew 19 and verse 3. The Pharisees also came to him, tempting him, and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? Verse 4. He answered and said unto them, Have you not read that he that made them at the... That's Genesis again. He that made them at the beginning made them male and female. That's Genesis 1, 26, 27, 28. He says, he that made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, shall cleave to his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. So it's moved from Genesis 1 to Genesis 2. So clearly, this is not all that Jesus said. This is summary of what he said. Because he just said Genesis 1, 26, 7, 8 in verse 4. Then he moves to Genesis 2. Yeah. and goes all the way to verse 24. But look at verse 6. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. That what therefore God has joined together, let no man put asunder. Verse 7. They said unto him, why did Moses then command to give a writing of what? Why did Moses command us to give a writing of divorcement to put her away? That's Deuteronomy 24, 3 and downwards. He says, why did Moses give a commandment to give a writing of divorcement? In other words, they read Moses, and what they saw in Moses was a commandment to divorce. Now, and what did Jesus call that? Man putting asunder. Man putting asunder. Now, if you go further down, verse 8. So they asked him, why did Moses write what he wrote in Deuteronomy? Verse 8. And he said unto them, Moses, because of the what? Suffered you to put away your wives, but from Genesis, it wasn't so. So what Moses started to teach was not about what the people interpreted it to mean. So the hardness of heart is the number one reason why a man reads the Bible and doesn't get his message. In Romans 13, we are told that the summary of the message of the Bible is love one another. In Galatians 5, we are told exactly the same thing. By love, serve one another. So why is it that a man will read the same Bible and not come to the same conclusion? Jesus answers, it's because of the hardness of the heart of the reader. So in between the Bible and the intention of God and understanding is the hardness of heart. If a man has a hardness of heart, what the Bible will call the evil heart of unbelief, a heart that is not persuaded concerning the beginning. What is in the beginning? The love of God. Whatsoever God joins together, gums together, glues together. Whatsoever God glues together or joins together. What does God join together? Now, hold your hand in that Matthew 19. Because Jesus is explaining something, and he says, for this cause shall the man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife. Man cleave, join together. Man cleave, join together, right? Hold your hand in that Matthew 19. Look at Ephesians and chapter 5. In Ephesians 5, look at what it says in Ephesians 5. In Ephesians 5, it says in verse 20. In Ephesians 5, it says in verse 30. For we are members of his body. What are we? Members of his body and of his flesh and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery. I speak not of boyfriend and girlfriend, but concerning Christ and the what? Church. I speak concerning Christ and the church. So the man that is leaving father and mother is Christ. The woman that he joins himself unto is the church. So the man leaving father and mother is Jesus, not grasping equality with God, but emptied himself and took upon him the form of a servant and became obedient unto death. Yeah, he says, for we are members of his body, of his bones, and of his flesh. But hold that place there and go to Genesis 2. Look at Genesis 2. Genesis 2. Genesis and chapter 2. Look at what the Bible says in verse 24. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be what? One flesh. But look at verse 23. And Adam said, this is now what? Bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called woman, because she was taken out of. Why is she called woman? In other words, woman in Genesis 2 is a word of identification. She was taken out of man. It is not girl coming out of boy. It is the church coming out of Christ. Okay? It is not girl coming out of boy. It is the church coming out of Christ. You know, somebody came to me the other day and was saying, well, Pastor Seko, what do you think about this controversy that women were made after men? And I said, it's a whole bunch of nonsense. Because if you go to Genesis 2 and you are seeing boy and girl, boyfriend, girlfriend, man and woman, you have an evil heart of unbelief. That is a hardness of heart gone to seed. That is a hardened heart. Jesus, both Jesus and Paul explained, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, to say it is a mystery, something to be explained. And the explanation was, I speak not of boyfriend or girlfriend or societal norms for marriage, but I speak of that marriage in God, Jesus, as the husband of a church. Okay? So in other words, this book called the Bible is a Christ book. When it looks to you like it's talking about mundane stuff, it is never about the mundane stuff. It concerns itself with things supernatural. It concerns itself with things. Look at Isaiah 54. Isaiah and chapter 54. And then we can start. Look at Isaiah 54. Are you there? Isaiah and chapter 54. I'm going to go all the way down to verse 4. It says, "Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed, neither be thou confounded, but thou shalt not be put to shame. For thou shalt forget the shame of your youth, and shall not remember the reproach of your widowhood anymore." So widowhood would mean it's talking about a woman. Okay, so somebody says, well, if somebody's husband dies, we read this scripture to that person. Relax, before you do that. It says, look at verse 5. For your maker is your what? And who is that maker? The Lord of hosts, thy redeemer. So the redeemer is the husband of all the marriage scriptures in the Bible. The man without that resurrected Lord has a dead one. So it's a widow. Yeah, so a man is a widow. A woman is a widow. Christ is that redeemer that makes the new creation. Now, so it says here, for your maker is your husband. So we now understand. Why do we know this? Because Isaiah is a student of Moses. Yeah, Isaiah clearly is a student of Moses. If you're not sure about that, go all the way down to verse 9 in that same Isaiah 54. It says, for this is as the waters of... Verse 9, this is as the waters of unto me. This is as the waters of Noah. So the waters of Noah are a figure of speech teaching something. Your maker, even your husband, is your redeemer. And his mercy is forever. Praise God. Amen. But the hardened heart of unbelief does not see that. Yet Isaiah, that's what Isaiah was talking about. So Isaiah is showing that the marriage... Yet Isaiah, that's what Isaiah was talking about. So Isaiah is showing that the marriage scriptures and the lessons in Noah are the same message. It's about Christ, the Redeemer, that husband that marries, and in his marriage, a woman is brought forth. And that marriage is actually the resurrection. I will show you shortly. Look at Matthew. Matthew chapter 22. Matthew 22, I'm going to read to you verse 23. The same day came unto him the Sadducees, which say that there is no what? Matthew 22:23. The same day came unto Jesus the what? Sadducees, which say that there is no. Who say that there is no? And they asked him, saying, Master, Moses said. Remember that when Moses is writing, the ardent heart will often misinterpret Moses. Remember? Now, so it says, Moses said, if a man die having no children, his brother shall marry his wife. Now, when you begin to see marriage in the Bible, you understand, you should start thinking about your maker is your husband. So the boy dies and then his brother takes over. In other words, let's say it differently. The life of the dead brother continues in his living brother. Yeah, so he's teaching resurrection. That which was dead comes alive and the marriage continues. Well, somebody says, I'm not quite sure. Relax, just follow me. So Matthew 22. So, you know, many years ago in England, about 17 years ago, really, there was a guy that came to me and said, you know, Sekou, you're a phenomenal teacher. And I have a question for you that he has read Moses. And Moses, this very thing here, he said, Moses said, if a guy has a wife and that guy dies, his brother can go ahead and marry the girl. So he says, so Sekou, my brother has a girlfriend. They're about to marry. If my brother were to die, can I marry her? And I said, no, your problem is not the Bible. We're just covetous. It was covetous. He just heed the evil heart of unbelief, the hardened heart. Yeah, he misread Moses. People think Moses is talking about boyfriend, girlfriend, babe, boo, boo, slayer, slain. No, he's not talking about any of those kind of stuff. He's talking about things eternal. He's talking about things eternal, the life of God. Anyway, so Matthew 22, he says,
Then they told him this ridiculous story. You know the story, right? Seven brothers, one girl, they both all died. And you know, look at verse 27. And last of all, the woman did what? Died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, since you say there's a resurrection, whose wife shall she be of the? Shall she be of the what? Now think about this carefully. So they know that there is a relationship between marriage and resurrection. They had a problem about resurrection, and they were trying to use marriage to show how it was faulty. Are you following? Yeah. So they said, it says, therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife? Whose wife? In the resurrection, whose wife are you? I'm asking you all, in the resurrection, whose wife are you? For your husband, for your maker is your husband, your redeemer. Yeah, and the days of your widowhood remember no more. So who is your daddy in the resurrection? The Lord Jesus Christ. You know, sugar daddy, Jesus. Amen. When a person doesn't find Jesus to be sugar daddy, then all sorts of evil conduct ensues. Praise God. Now, so it says here, verse 28, therefore in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be of the? But the seven mean the one. They just don't get it. It says, for they all had her. Jesus answered, said to them, you are in error. You don't know the scriptures. You don't even know the power of God. In other words, when you are reading about marriage, you are reading about the power of God. Now, he said, you don't know the scriptures or the power of God. You don't know the scriptures. You are in error. The way you interpreted what Moses said shows that you don't understand what you're saying. You are in error. Neither knowing the scriptures or the power of God. For in the what? In the resurrection, they neither marry, nor are given the marriage, but as the angels of God in heaven, but as touching the resurrection of the dead. Because think about it. For those seven brothers now to need, they fail to see it. For those seven brothers to need to now marry, it means the dead shall come alive again. The lesson is not who shall marry her out of her seven. The lesson is that which is dead shall come alive and a marriage shall ensue. Revelation 19 talks about it. That blessed is he that is invited to the marriage supper of a lamb. What is the marriage supper of a lamb? The lamb that was slain, that rose from the dead, that made of us, of all men, of all kindreds and all that, a people unto his name. So the resurrection of Jesus is marriage itself. The resurrection of Jesus. It is in his resurrection that the marriage takes place. So when a man believes the resurrection, he is that wife that has been married, for whom widowhood is over, upon whom death has no more power, for it was impossible for death to hold him. Hallelujah. Now, so I said that to say this, that you must learn to approach your scripture in the minutest detail. Go back to Matthew 19. In the minutest detail, you must learn to approach it as a Christ book. It is concerned from beginning to the end with the person and the substance of Christ. Look at Matthew 19. And in verse 3, the Pharisees came to him, tending him and saying unto him, it is not for a man. Yeah, we went on and on. It says in verse 5, for this cause shall a man leave his father and... Verse 5, for this cause shall a man leave his father and... Who is the man now? Who is the man? Good. So for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife. Who is the wife? The church. How does a man become church? For if you shall believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So how does the wife come about? By believing in that resurrection. By believing in that resurrection. So follow me closely. See what Jesus is saying. He says, for this cause shall a man, that's Jesus, leave father and mother, figure of speech, for he doesn't grasp at equality with God. And he says, and shall cleave to his wife, meaning salvation is God's activity. Man is a recipient. He cleaves to his wife. The wife doesn't cleave to him. He cleaves to his wife. And they twin shall be one flesh, which means one spirit. For he that is joined unto the Lord is what? One spirit. So Moses, one flesh, means one spirit. Now, so it says, shall be one flesh, wherefore they are no more two. The believer and Christ are not divided. The believer and Christ are not different. They are no more two, but one. What therefore God has joined together? What did God join together? The believer and the man that rose from the dead. What God joined together is the resurrection of Jesus and the man that believes in that resurrection, and the two now become one. One spirit. He that is... Am I speaking to myself? Okay, good stuff. Now, so it says, if it already looks like I'm getting tipsy, you talk about this stuff, it gets to you, right? That's Those you want kind. So it says here, what verse are we in again? So verse 6, wherefore there are no more twain. In other words, Jesus is preaching gospel. But he's preaching gospel. Jesus is not a marriage counselor. He's not a guidance counselor. Yeah. It says, for the two, they came with a guidance counseling question. He resets them by giving them, this is what Moses was really talking about. Yeah. So it says here, wherefore there are no more two, but one flesh. What therefore God has what? Joined together. Let no man put a... Who is the man that puts the asunder? The man that does not believe that Jesus rose from the dead. You do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. So the evil heart of unbelief, or the hardened heart of unbelief, is what puts asunder what God has joined together. So God joins the believer in the resurrection of Christ. The man who hears the gospel and doesn't believe it puts it asunder. Yeah, it puts it asunder. God joins it together. Now, when a man believes, this is the word of faith which we preach. The word of faith which we preach. Now, so Matthew 19, so let's go on. Verse 7, they said unto him, why did Moses then command us to give a bill of a writing of divorcement and to put her away? He said unto them, let me tell you the truth, guys. Moses, because of the hardness of your heart. So Moses looked at you, saw that what he preached about for this cause that a man leave his father and mother, you did not accept it. He therefore wrote things that express the unbelief or the hardness in your heart. So Moses preached a message for this cause. They didn't find out the cause. Instead, they were in unbelief. Moses then wrote to explain their own unbelief. Now, so Moses did not command them. It was their unbelieving hearts that gave them permissions that were not in the love of God. Now, so the Bible says here in verse 8, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, suffered you to put away your wives. But from the beginning, it was not so. That is not what Moses was talking about from the beginning. From when he started writing Genesis, for this cause, if you check earlier, for this cause of the man leave his father and mother. Now, look at verse 9. And I say to you, whosoever shall put away his... Now, who is the he that can put away his wife? If you are following this thus far. Who is the man that can put away his wife? Christ. It is Christ that leaves father and mother, that cleaves to his wife. Yeah? So if Christ puts away the man that believes, then Christ is an infidel. Did you see that there? He says, whosoever shall put away his wife, except if it were fornication. Fornication would therefore mean finding intimacy outside of the love of God. Yeah, you know fornication now. You have, okay, let me use that kind of illustration. Boyfriend, girlfriend, or man and wife. And then the girl start eyeing somebody else apart from Ababo. Now you say that she is into all manner of promiscuity and all that. She's found satisfaction outside the man. In Christ, the heart believes. The man that doesn't find Christ to be all, finds no satisfaction in his love, is then said to be a fornicator. Now, so the Bible now says here, it says in verse 9, except it be for fornication. In other words, it is only on account of somebody not believing the gospel. It's only on account of unbelief. If it's not due to unbelief and Christ is found to have put away a believer, what is he? He has committed. No, he's there. What has he done? Yeah, adultery. Himself has violated the love of God. That means his own sacrifice is not enough for him. Yeah? Now, so you know what Jesus is teaching about his sacrifice? The same way Isaiah taught about the sacrifice of Christ using the illustration of marriage. In that marriage, he says, hey, listen, guys, it is your maker I refer to as your husband. Look at Hosea and chapter 2. Hosea is before Daniel. Are you there? Hosea. Are you there? Sorry, I meant after. Hosea chapter 2. Hosea and chapter what? Chapter 2. Look at verse 19. And I will betroth thee unto me. I will do what? You know what betroth is? Yeah? This is marriage in mind. I will, a prophet is talking, guys, I will betroth thee unto me for how long? So the marriage, which is the redemption, which is the making of a new creation or salvation that God as the husband provides, the wooing that he supplies is forever. And it's a function of the will of God and not of the work of man. He says, I will betroth thee unto me, what? Forever, forever, forever. What a good news. I will betroth thee unto me forever. Yes, I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness. That will be my right action. When I do that, I'm acting right. In righteousness and in judgment. That is my judgment in Christ. And in loving kindness and in mercies. I will even betroth thee unto me in faithfulness. So redemption is a measure of the faithfulness of God. Redemption is a measure of the faithfulness of God. He says, I will betroth thee unto me in faithfulness, and thou shalt know the Lord. What will you know the Lord as? That one that betroths you to himself by his own ability forever. Based on his mercy, not your performance, he will perform, you will be performed upon. He will do, you will be done. He will, do you understand? He will help, you will be helped. Do you understand? Whatever he does, you are the recipient of. Amen. Now, so that is what in other words, Hosea was a new creation teacher. Isaiah was a new creation teacher. Moses was a new creation teacher. Let me ask you, when did they start teaching the new creation? After the death of Jesus or way before? Way before. Why did Jesus come? To fulfill what they had already taught. Amen. Praise God. Now, so I'm trying to show you that the Bible, anywhere you look at it, anywhere you flip through it, the Bible is a documentation of Christ. Look at Acts 2. Acts and chapter 2. Acts 2, I'm going to read to you, this is Peter talking on the day of Pentecost. Acts 2, I'm going to read to you verse 24. Acts 2, 24. Are you there? Acts 2, 24. Whom God has raised up, that's resurrection, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning, verse 25, David speaketh concerning, David speaketh concerning, David speaketh concerning. Did David speak about himself? Who did he speak about? About Christ. Look at John 5. So David speaketh concerning him. David speaketh concerning him. Look at John 5. John and chapter 5. David speaketh. Don't forget that. That means that the glory of David is not his castles and his landmines and gold mines. The glory of David is what he said. It's found in the words that he spoke. Look at John 5. John 5. Go all the way down to verse 46. For had you believed Moses, what should a man do after reading Moses? Believe. Does he try to do? He believes. If he really understands Moses, he will say, I believe that. I believe that. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother. You then don't try to go and take somebody as father and mother and say, I'm acting on Genesis 2:24. Is it okay to marry a girl? I'm married to a girl, friends. I'm married to a girl. Yeah, but I didn't marry her in acting upon Genesis 2:24. That would be reading somebody else's email. Yeah, just as David speaketh concerning him, Moses speaketh concerning him. The object of scriptures is not you or I. The object of scripture is that champion that came from the bosom of God long ago. Now, so the Bible said here, if you look at John 5 and verse 46, for had you believed Moses, you would have believed me. So when Moses says, sanctify yourselves, what do? You don't sanctify yourself. What do instead? You believe that he sanctifies you. Yeah. So when Moses tells Aaron, take on this mantle of a high priest, enter into the temple, Aaron says, no, I just believe there's a high priest coming. Yeah. Now, when Aaron puts on the garment, that is the unbelief gone to seed. That is the evil heart of unbelief. Yeah, look at it again. That's why in the Bible there was much argument over Moses. Uncle Moses was a terrible man, but a good teacher. Yeah, you too, you try to be the first person to explain resurrection in writing and see how easy it is. And you don't have Paul's letters, and you don't have Peter's letters, and you don't, and then try and explain it. Let's see how far you go. That guy tried. Yeah, thanks, Moses. Now, look at verse 46. This, and had you believed Moses, you would have believed what? Why? For he wrote of me. So Jesus, not one small teacher from England who came to tell you some dry jokes. Jesus said himself that when you read Moses, believe that chap is speaking concerning me. So think about this carefully. Now read it carefully. So when Moses said, write the bill of divorcement for your wives, he's saying that is not what God will do. Are you following? Why are you quiet? He's saying, remember, when you read the Bible, don't think about you, think about Christ. For he speaketh concerning me. He said, it is man that puts asunder. God is always found joining together. So when Moses wrote in Deuteronomy to put away the wife, he is writing to find out those with unbelief in their heart concerning the nature of God, who never puts away. In other words, Moses was a teacher of eternal security. Moses teaches that God will never, and Jesus also taught it. He says, God puts together. Man puts asunder. But God puts together. What God has joined 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 together. Now, so that John and chapter 5 and verse 46. For had you believed Moses, you will have believed me. For he wrote. He did what? Wrote of me. He wrote of me. He wrote of me. So, Acts. Look at Acts and chapter 26. Acts 26. Acts 26. Are you there? Acts 26. I'm going to read to you verse 22. Acts 26, 22. Paul is the one talking. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to what? Small and great. So same message, independent of man's economic standing or status, influence, affluence, or whatever the case is. Yeah, small needs the gospel, great needs the gospel, and the small man might still be small after the gospel, and the great man might still be great after the gospel. The gospel is not concerned with whether they are small or great, it's concerned with the faithfulness of God in Christ. Anyway, so Paul said, I say the same thing, I witness to both small and great, saying none other things other than those which the prophets and... So, was there a difference between the message of Paul and the message of Moses? No. Wherever I see the difference, I've located the evil heart of unbelief. I've located the hardness of man's heart. I've located you do err, not knowing the scriptures, not the power of God. So, Paul said, when you find me teaching, I'm saying nothing other than what bro Moses said. Of course, not bro Moses. Yeah. Moses was not born again when he said it. Imagine what Moses said on credit. Without an actual resurrection. And why will it be harder for a gospel man who has the real thing, the original? Why will it be difficult for him to say it exactly? Amen. Now, so if I told you now that the Bible concerns itself with the man Christ Jesus, you agree? Yeah? Well, even in love story, it's Jesus. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, thou shalt love your neighbor. Who is that person that loved the neighbor? Remember, God made me his neighbor in that he became a man and was one of us. So he was my neighbor. Yeah? And then he loved me. Amen. Then he loved me, and in his love in my heart, I now love another man with the love that I've seen in God. You know, no sweating. So it is when the Bible says all the law. If I look at Matthew and chapter 22. We're just doing some preliminaries together tonight, guys. Praise God. Matthew 22. I'm reminding you of those things commonly believed amongst us. Look at Matthew 22 and verse 30. Look at verse 37 or 36, 35. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, somebody say lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, thou shalt stop. The great commandment. That means, what is the mighty fact? What is the grand message? Now, so what is the great commandment in the law? Whose law? The law of Moses. What is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said straight away, thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. To love him with your heart is to believe in your heart. For with the heart, man believeth. Now, so he loves me. I believe his love, and that is loving him with my heart. Now look at verse 38. This is the first, even that great commandment. And the second, somebody say second, is like unto the first, thou shalt love your neighbor as yourself. So I believe that God was God that became a man, and in becoming a man, he became a neighbor. He became one near us. Yeah, great is the mystery of godliness, that God was manifested in the flesh. So he became one of us in the incarnation. We see who he's like. And then as our neighbor, we hated him, he loved us. While we are yet sinners, God commended his love towards us as one of us. Glory to God. So thou shalt love your neighbor as yourself is not a commandment to you. It's a commandment to God, which God fulfilled in Christ. And that love is now in you. And as you act on that love, you find yourself loving others too. Amen. Now, so very important. Very important. Galatians 5 again. So let's start. Look at Galatians 5. Look at Galatians 5. Galatians 5. You see, a man that is going to give himself to the teaching of God's word, you cannot be in a hurry. You cannot be in a hurry. If you're going to pray further and die prayers, pray it for hurry. Whatever makes me to hurry when I teach scripture, that one should fall down and die. Then that's what should fall down and die. That hurry, microwave generation. Arrive there, get there, just say it. Yeah. Hurry. Yeah. Say it. What are you trying to say? No, relax. If it took Jesus 40 days to say something, what was he saying? I'm alive. And it took him 40 days to explain it from scripture. I am alive. Just as the Father swore to Abraham. See, I'm alive. But don't look at my hands. Look at it in scripture. 40 days. But somebody say, that's not difficult. Start the seminar. Say, he is alive. Full stop. No. Yeah, that is hurry. That is acting upon things that should not be named amongst us. You see, the teaching of God's word is not a sprint. It's a marathon. This gospel stuff that we are into, it's a marathon. Yeah. It is for the man who has liver, who has spine. You know, the big trouble I have with so-called word people is that they don't tend to ever stay with the truth. Before long, it needs to be microwaved. It's not enough. Something must happen. So fornication. You know the doctrine of fornication? That was called adultery. Adultery anyhow. Yeah, but we don't commit adultery, do we? Do we? No, we don't commit adultery. You know, the Bible says Jezebel, who has cast those people upon the bed of her fornication. Why? Because she was teaching wrong things. So fornication first starts as wrong doctrine. Yeah. Look at 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. Are you there? 2 Timothy. Chapter 2. Verse chapter 2, verse 15. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study. Somebody say study. That Greek word study there means to show. It means to display, exhibit, flaunt. Just give them, yeah? He says, give them something to see. Excel. Yeah. Now, he says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed. Rightly doing what? Rightly dividing the word of truth. That means use the words of scripture to say what they were written to say. Rightly divide the word of truth. Use what is written in the word to say what the writers intended. Now, it then says in verse 16, but shun, somebody say shun. Shun profane and vain babblings, for they increase unto more what? What is the greatest ungodliness that a minister of the gospel can participate in? False doctrine. Which is using the Bible to say what the Bible doesn't say. Using the scriptures to say what the scripture doesn't say. That's fornication and adultery. It's uncleanness. It's ungodliness. And maybe God gave them that revelation and gave the other people that revelation. No, that's not the way it is. Sean. Close to me, Sean. Sean. Sean, 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 Sean. When I catch my mouth saying what I shouldn't say, shun it, shun it, shun it. That's what slaps are for. Stop. Slaps are not for giving orders. Yourself. You say, where did you find that one? Seku? Stop there. Amen. But us, we are too gentle on ourselves. Everybody will understand now. I just made a mistake, so that's ungodliness. Yeah, we're not lax about ungodliness. You know, I don't know about you. A man that preaches good doctrine is a teacher of holiness. That holiness of saying what the scripture said, the way he said it, and nothing more. Not adding anything to it. Paul said, saying none other things except those things that the prophets and Moses said. That is godliness. That is being clean. Say to your neighbor, say, neighbor, you need to be a clean minister. Yeah, now, let's go on. So it says, verse 16, shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more what? Yeah, and it says in verse 17, their word, so the message of some people, eats as a cancer, of whom is Imanaeus and Philetus. Sorry, he called that names. Now in verse 18, who concerning the truth have, how did they err, saying that the resurrection is past? They spoke contrary to the reality of the resurrection of Jesus. They spoke contrary to what the resurrection stands for. So is it doctrine or not? Yeah, and overthrow the faith of some. Now verse 19, nevertheless, the foundation of God stands having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are is. What are the them that are is? Those things about resurrection, which is sound doctrine, which you have to study to show yourself approved unto. God knows the one that it is. So God will say, you see, the book of Psalms, when it says, you are the Lord said to my Lord, he says, that one, that is mine. The Lord knoweth those that are his. That one, that is mine. That's about Jesus. Yeah. You will sit upon the throne of Melchizedek. Thou art the priest after thou art the priest forever after the priesthood of Melchizedek. That is mine. The Lord knoweth those things that are his. Whatever the Lord has claimed to be his own. In other words, whatever the Lord has inherited, don't disinherit it in interpretation. Use the word to say what the word says. You see, guys, we are not afraid for what the conclusion of what the word says will be. We are not easy weather guys. God is not easy weather. The Lord Jesus in the humanity was not easy weather. Peter, Paul, Bartholomew, all those guys, they were not easy weather guys. We have the faith delivered unto the saints. We are not easy weather guys too. We are not easy come, easy go guys. Amen. The gospel is not about ease. The gospel has a doggedness about it. It has you being fastidious with fact, with truth. Staying true to the same no matter what. Now, see, look at this. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God stand is sure, having this seal, that the Lord knoweth them that are what? Let everyone that preaches, that means that nameth the name of Christ, that means preaching, it should depart from iniquity. What's the iniquity? That ungodliness he spoke about in verse 16. which is using the scriptures to say what the scriptures don't say. Depart from it. It is iniquity. A minister of the gospel should not be full of or found in iniquity. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Yeah. A minister of the gospel should not be found. See, my dear friends, we don't say what we say just to sound nice. We say what we say, whether it's nice or not. Yeah. It's just the truth of scripture. Now, so look at 1 Timothy 5. In fact, Galatians 5 again. Galatians 5. Look at verse 13. Galatians 5, 13. For brethren, you are being called unto what? Liberty. Only use not your liberty for an occasion to the flesh. But by love, do what? But by love, do what? By love, do what? By love, serve one another. So the call in the call of liberty, the gospel, what is called the law of liberty in Roman James. The law of liberty, the law of the spirit of life, the law of faith, or that law, the law of God. Paul calls it many names. But what it stands for is serving one another. A man does not know the gospel who does not know service. A man does not know the gospel who does not know that the gospel makes a claim upon the hearts of his preacher to be a man of service. We have a danger, a problem in our hands. And the problem is this, that there are many people today, they are already beautiful preachers. They now want to become students of the word. Somebody says, what's the problem with that? There's a lot of problems. Because the beautiful preacher already has something to say. Word happens to be one of many. Firstborn among many brethren. Yeah. Word happens to be one of. There are many other things such a man says. No, Jesus said, make disciples. Make students of the word of all the nations. So number one, we are all meant to be students of the word, not preachers. We are meant to be students of the word. Then in our study, we preach. We are students of the word that preach. We are not preachers that study. Yeah, we are not preachers that study. We are students that preach. They are not the same thing. Someone says, see rhymes. It's not rhymes. Yeah, we are not students. Sorry, we are not preachers that study. We are students that preach. A student will say whatever needs to be said. A preacher will look for a way out. Because preaching can be creative. You've not seen working on miracles until you see a preacher preach. Yeah, and the miracles are worked in the word of God. Verses are explained away. Realities are shunned. Eternal truths are put aside. Yeah, and carnality is enthroned. But we are not such, right? Are we such? Yeah. No, sir. We are not such. We're not such. Look at it again. Look at Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13. I'm trying to start something and it's taking me a while to start. Hebrews 13. Somebody said, well, you've not started. Yes, I'm not. We're just trying to start. Yeah. See, if it took Jesus preaching 40 days, when do you think it finally started? If they came to hear Paul, and Paul will preach until Eutychus falls down dead, and then Paul will go for Eutychus, raise him from the dead, have dinner, then start preaching. Don't worry. I deliver you from, it's not going to happen to you tonight. Yeah. But really, it should happen to you. You know, when I want to terrorize people, I tell them, many years ago as a student of, you know, Great Ife? Oh. Relax. Don't harass them. Walk in love. Don't harass them. So, as a student of Great Ife, there was a lecturer of mine in the days when Babangida closed universities. And so I was in school, minding my own business. This lecturer walked into my room. And he became a victim. Yeah, he got into a conversation on righteousness of all things. So I did him for 16 hours. Just did him. At the end, he was done. He became a preacher of righteousness. Amen. Don't forget a preacher of righteousness. Yeah. Who says conversation with your lecturers is a one-way street? When is his turn, he talks. When is mine, he listens. Hallelujah. Yeah. You know, one of those kings looked at Paul and said, Paul, too much learning. You don't enter your head. You don't colo. And Paul didn't argue. He didn't say, no, I'm not colo. He just took it as a compliment. Amen. You know, the gospel messes you up. Yeah, the Bible says the gospel is the power of God, and yet it is the cross of Christ. You say, how is he powerful? He died. I say, and that is power. Yes. Yeah. How is he powerful? He died. How is he having dominion? He was slain. Slain? Or he slew or slain? No, he says he was slain. And unto him be all the dominion, majesty, and power. And then your head just goes, The gospel changes the meaning of daily, everyday words. Yeah. You know, it's called King of Kings, which means servant of servants. Yeah. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, which means he's a servant. Because don't forget, liberty is to one end, service. Right? Liberty is to one end, service. So in ministry also, you are the leader in showing the example called service. I said it, you didn't do it. Serve. Serve. That is the intention. Serve. First Timothy 6. First Timothy and chapter 6. Are you there? Have you gone up? First Timothy and chapter 6. I'm going to read verse 17. First Timothy 6, 17. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be what? Yeah, not high-minded, but trust in what? Uncertain riches. Is it riches? Yes. What kind of riches? Uncertain. Yeah, what should be your disposition towards it? Don't trust in it. Yeah, charge them that are rich in this world that they not be high-minded, not trust in what? Uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. What does he give us to enjoy? All things to enjoy. What is the all things? Next verse. Which is the all things called that they do good, that they be rich in good work. So what is the riches that God gave us to enjoy? The riches of good works. The riches of distributing to others. Amen, amen. Yeah. Now, what God gave us really to enjoy is not Bugatti. What he gave us richly to enjoy is the riches of service, the riches of good works, the riches of distribution. Are you there? Now, so it says that they do good, that they be rich in good works, that they be ready to distribute, that they be willing to communicate. That those are the riches found in the sacrifice of Christ. What about the other riches? Interaction with the world. It says those that be rich in this world. It didn't say that they are not rich in this world. They are rich in the world, but there is the riches of good works. If I look at Ephesians 1, we're going to come back to Timothy. Look at Ephesians 1 and verse 7. In whom we have what? Redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the what? So the grace of God is riches. The grace of God is riches. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4. But God, who is? Ephesians 2, 4. But God, who is? Who is what? Is God rich? He's rich in what? Mercy. In chapter 1, verse 7, he's rich in grace. And in 1 Timothy 6, 17, is the riches of good works. You see it now. Riches of good works, riches of mercy, riches of grace. Riches of service, riches of kindness, we are rich. Yeah, rich. Rich. Yeah, rich. Yeah, good stuff. Rich. Now, it wasn't the riches of kindness that bought my suit. That is suit. The suit did not come from God. I can tell you the shop I got it from, but I won't tell you. So, the suit came from a shop. It was the work of a man's hands. But goodness is not the work of man. Mercy is not the work of man. The riches of God are that which have their origin in God. And only God could do it. Look at 1 Timothy 5. So we're back to 1 Timothy 5 now. 1 Timothy 5 and verse 17. Let the elders, verse 17, let the what? 1 Timothy 5. Okay, is it writing? If you are finished, say, oh me. Oh me, oh me. Oh, me. We are happening to one another, you see. 1 Timothy 5, verse what? Let the elders, somebody say elders.
Elders.
Yeah. Let the elders that rule well. What do elders do? They rule. No, no, no. They might not be well. He said, let the elders that rule well. That means they are elders that don't rule well. Yeah. Pay attention to particulars. So let the elders that rule. It didn't say all elders rule well. It says, let those elders that rule well. Yeah. What should you do to them? Be counted worthy of what? Of what? Especially they who labor in the what? In the word and doctrine. So what does an elder do? An elder rules. What is ruling well? Labor. What labor? In word and doctrine. Very easy. So elders rule. They don't rule people. They rule in doctrine by teaching, instructing, and their rule is their sweat and their labor in the word. Amen. Yeah. Now, you know, it is labor when after Jesus has taught for 40 days, that mighty seminar, and they now ask him, yes, Jesus says, you, what question do you have? Master, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And the others are like, what? Heavy. Yeah. Say what? Deep. And Jesus, being a good ruler, I don't know about you. You try teach people for 40 days straight. And you are showing them in text after text after text. And when you finally said, somebody says, Pastor, I got it. Say, talk. Will you at this time restore the kingdom? And you are like saying, you feel like raising the dead. Yeah, but thus was a man of the world, be patient. You know, many of us at that point, we won't explain anymore. Show for the bunny. Did you hit your head on the floor? Satan has borrowed your brain. After I sweated and labored in prayer, you are making mockery of my spiritual valor. But that's not what Jesus did, though. Jesus kept on explaining. If it was many of us, there would be no Acts 1, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. You'll be like, Acts 1, 5, that's the end. You at this time restore the kingdom? No. I now disappear from your presence. The rest you find out. Yeah. Look, we are not that type, right? Are we? We don't quit. We are dogged. We are dogged. Yeah. Say, word forever. Yeah. So, persistence forever. You know when it's working, when it looks like it's not working. After teaching for 40 days and it looks like the devil is winking at you, say, see yourself. Yeah, that's when it's working. Yeah, what was it that worked? You cannot persist in communicating the faithfulness of God and you say it hasn't worked. The word already worked. Hallelujah. The word already worked. You know when you are teaching your congregations, it's not the way the noise is, though. You are gathered with word men who are all equally excited. But sometimes you are teaching and you're like, Pastor, you know that thing you said 3 months ago? Did you say Peter died on the cross? Say that bit about resurrection. Say it again. That Pilate was the one that rose. And you're like thinking, I've lost my way. You have not lost your way. You've not lost your way. Amen. Be faithful and true. Yeah. Now, so it says here, 1 Timothy 5 and verse 17, let the elders of rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they will labor. They will do what? They will do what? They will do what? My dear friends, all I was trying to tell you is that when the Bible says labor, labor is labor. What do they labor in? Word, that is doctrine. So they labor in doctrine. Look at verse 18. For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle the ox that treads out the corn. Now remember, the scripture that said it will be called the law. What did we say was the fulfillment of the law? Serve others. So what is it that that Paul used to teach? Yeah, given to the ministers that labor over you in the world. Text about ox, because Moses was not talking about ox. Moses was talking about liberty calls you in love to serve. So what I give to the man that gives me the word is my service to the man, because I love the man. Amen. Very, very easy. It is not so up to grow up, so down to grow down. It's not breakout, breaking, breakthrough. It's not any of that. It's just service. Those of you that give to the man of God, your life will never be the same again. No. The giving is that love which prefers the other person and serves. Amen. Are you there? Somebody say glory. Okay, we're not starting now, by the way. We're just starting. So we're now started. Now, verse 18. For the scripture said, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his. What is the reward? That is, count them worthy of double honor. That's the reward. Yeah, count them worthy of double honor. Please, can I ask you a question? Who does Paul have in mind in this scripture? Who is going to do this scripture? Okay, let me break it down. There is the minister who labors, and there is the saint that receives the labor of the minister. Who is verse 17 written to? Saint. It was not written to the minister. It was written to the saints. It was not written to the minister. It was written to the saints. The saints should look at the service of the ox, which is ministering the word. They then serve back in giving. It's very easy, because all of it is about service. Are we clear? All of it is about service. Are you there? Are we going to look at Galatians 6:6. It says, let him that is taught in the word communicate fellowship. Let him communicate unto him that teacheth in what? In all what? So communicate in all good things. So him that teacheth in Galatians 6, in 1 Timothy 5 will be the ox. Yeah, that's the ox. Treading out the corn will be the service. The service of ministering the word. Are you there? Are you there? Now, so Paul teaches that the saint should serve by giving. And Paul teaches that the minister should minister as a service. Now look at 2 Corinthians 11. 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 9. And when I was present with you and wanted. And what? Only one person said it. When I was present with you and I was chargeable to I. Now, who is I? Saint or minister? So, minister was chargeable to no man, although minister at once. For that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia did what? Supply. So, do brethren supply to the minister? Yes. Is the minister still in want? He wanted. Okay. The minister is still in want. He supplied. And in all things, I have kept myself from being what? I have kept myself from being. So, the minister's job is to keep himself from being bothersome. The people's job is to consider the minister and serve by giving. But the minister is not asking. The minister is not anticipating. The minister is not doing it so as to get the service from the people. He is chargeable to no man. Are you following? Yeah. He's chargeable to no man. And so will I keep myself. So the minister's job is to keep himself from being chargeable to anybody that he ministers to. That means the minister ministers the gospel without charge. Just like Jesus served us without charge. Did we sow for him to go to the cross? Or you sowed for him to rise from the dead? Yeah? How many of us sowed for Jesus to rise from the dead? That we gave towards his resurrection? Yeah. Or we gave towards his sacrifice? No. No, 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 no. Instead, his sacrifice provokes service in us to others. The same way to the minister of the gospel, who represents that message, does not get into the gospel to get service from people. Although the people will serve. But he doesn't do it so they serve. Very different. The minister doesn't do ministry so as to be served. He does ministry to labor in the word, having nothing to do with ungodliness. Are you there? Are you there? Okay. Now, so let's continue. Look at 1 Corinthians 4. 1 Corinthians 4. So in 2 Corinthians 11, we see that people gave to Paul. Paul was in want. Paul was in need. Look at 1 Corinthians 4. 1 Corinthians 4, I'm going to read verse 12 or verse 11. Even to this present hour, somebody say we. So one more time, we. So even to this hour, we both hunger and thirst, and are naked, buffeted, having no certain dwelling place. Labor. Verse 12, labor. Somebody say labor. Walking with our. No, 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 no. Paul said we labor in the word. Is that what he said? Is that not what he said? No. You must not give a specific meaning to a word in scripture independent of the context in which it's used. So does the minister labor? Now, what labor was he laboring in 1 Timothy 6 that they were to be, 1 Timothy 5 that they were to note? Labor in word and doctrine. What labor is Paul talking about here? Labor working with his hands. Look at verse 12 again. Labor working with our hands. Being reviled, we what? Blessed. Being persecuted, we do what? Okay, so the minister works with his hands as a labor. Why is he laboring with his hands? Because to labor in the word is to follow it through with the conduct of laboring with your hands. That is part of what you take note of. Such a man is ruling well. Because, are you following? Yeah, good. Now, so it says here again, we're going somewhere. It says in verse 12, labor, working with our hands. So he told the Corinthians, I received from people. But he told the Corinthians, I walk with my hands. What is the link between receiving from people and walking with your hands? Nada, zilch, zero, nothing. The man that receives from those he has blessed also walks with his hands as a labor in that same doctrine. Yeah, so the doctrine I sweat in. And that sweat produces the conduct of walking with my hands. Very important. You cannot have labor. Paul teaches two labors. One labor in the word. Second labor, that labor of the word continues in the conduct of walking with your hands. Wait. If a minister labors with his hands, does that mean the saints should not give to him? No. They are not linked. Why do the saints give to him? It is their service to the man that has blessed them. Why does he minister to them? It is his service. See, if it's a service, it has to be freely given. Look at Matthew 10. Matthew and chapter 10. Look at verse 28. Jesus is the one talking here. Matthew 10. Are you there? Sorry, verse 8. It says, verse 7. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have. Freely do what? What kind of ministry did Jesus teach? Giving freely. That means your ministry is you giving to the people. And when you give to them, it is freely, meaning no strings attached. I am not teaching the people so they will bless me. That's not freely. I am teaching the people, full stop. As my service to them, full stop. No comma, no question mark, full stop. The people that are taught are to notice the labor and serve back by giving. What if they don't give? I still continue to labor, teaching, and I continue to labor in the same conduct that makes me work with my hands. Amen. Now, very, very, very important. Very, very important. Now, and this is important. I will tell you why. So, the Bible says here that you are to look at 1 Corinthians 9. Are you there? Look at 1 Corinthians 9. Look at verse 14. Verse 14. This is testing ground for you now. Verse 14. Even so had the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the what? Now look at me carefully. Who is that written to? Saint or minister? Who is it written about? Minister. Who is it written to? Saint. If a minister tries to enforce this, then he is charging for the gospel. It is the saints that will respond to this. Do saints give to ministers? Yes. What if the minister demands it? Then it's now a charge. Then it's no longer freely given, and it's no longer freely. Yeah? Freely you have received, then freely do what? Freely you have received, freely do what? Freely you have received, freely do what? Now, I want you to look at 1 Timothy 6. 1 Timothy 6. 1 Timothy and chapter 6. Are you there? 1 Timothy 6. Look at verse 5. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 5. Okay. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 5. Look at what it says. Yeah, 1 Timothy and chapter 6 and verse 5. Are you there? It says, verse 3, if any man, somebody say any man, teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, that sound doctrine, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions, and strive of words, wherefore cometh envy, strife, railing, evil surmises, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, destitute of the truth, supposing, underline that gain is godliness. From such, withdraw yourself. Now, it says they suppose that gain is godliness. They suppose that gain. In other words, we serve God for what we will get from the service. That philosophy that we serve God for what we will get from serving Him, that is corrupt mind, destitute of the truth. I mean, think about it. Look at the language that Paul uses here. Stern. Look at it again. He says, he called them perverse, proud, knowing nothing, gotten about questions, strife of words, envy over this matter. In other words, once a minister begins to get into that territory where it doesn't distinguish between these things, he's already proud. He's already proud because he's not walking in the love of God seen in Christ. Like Jesus did not ask for
your service, your offerings, to go to the cross, to suffer the shame, to rise from the dead, we don't demand it. We don't. Because it suffices a servant to be like his master. And Jesus taught, freely you've received, so freely do what? Freely. There's no improvement on that instruction. Freely you receive, freely give. Look at it again. It says, when it says gain is godliness, you see that word translated godliness means serving God or the service of God. Yeah, that word gain means to acquire, means to obtain, means to get. In other words, serving God for what you will get. The Bible calls it perverseness. It calls it doting about words, not knowing what one says. That's not a good place to be as a minister. Not a good place. Not a good place at all. Yeah, not a good place at all. It says it's doting about words, not knowing what one is saying. Look at 3 John. 3 John. 3 John. 3 John. 3 John. Look at verse 8. We therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the what? What should all of us be? Fellow helpers of the truth. You should not be a hindrance to the gospel. You should be a fellow helper of the truth. How are we fellow helpers of the truth? Look at the verse before. Verse 7. Because that for his name's sake, for what? On account of the reputation of Jesus. On account of the message of the gospel. For his name's sake, they went forth. Finish it, please. One more time. For his name's sake, they went forth. Finish it. Taking nothing of the Gentiles. One more time. Taking nothing of the Gentiles. One more time. Taking nothing of the Gentiles. So when a man does that, he's called a fellow helper of the truth. That is the teaching of John. It says, for his name, they took nothing of the Gentiles. Nothing. The gospel makes the minister a giver. Like our Father God communicated in that gospel is a giver. Like the Son that reveals the Father is a giver. Like the Spirit, from that Spirit there's a giving. So the minister that communicates the reality of the gospel goes as a giver, not a taker. Look at 1 John 3 and verse 7 again. Because that for his name's sake, they went forth. Hallelujah. Let's say together, we go forth. We go forth. Irresistible. Unstoppable. Yeah, it says they went forth taking nothing of a Gentile. Well, somebody says, well, maybe they didn't have a revelation of Abrahamic covenant. Stay there. Stay there. They took nothing because they had all they needed. Yeah? No, they didn't have all they needed because Paul tells us he was in want often. And yet he says, so will I keep myself. I will keep myself from having to ask a man to whom I'm preaching the gospel and make a demand that you must support or sustain me. Eh? Yep. That's what Paul said. But John is even harder till he took nothing. You know, with Paul, you can wrangle. With John, they took nothing. And that is how to be a fellow helper. Those guys are stern. Now, you can understand why John prayed for Gaius. Because John is preaching, bro John, Apostle John, he's preaching to Gaius. You know Gaius? Yeah, brother Gaius. Gaius. He's preaching to Gaius. See what he's like. So look at verse. Let's look at verse 2 together. Verse 2. Beloved, that's Gaius. But look at verse 1. The elder. See, whenever they talk this way, they are talking as what? Elders. Now, it says the elder. Unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the... It says verse 2, beloved, I wish above all things that thou may and be in even as your soul. And in verse 7, it means they took nothing of the Gentiles. A minister of a gospel preaches the doctrine in health. That when it says be in health means soundness in your teaching. How was Gaius going to get there? Apostle John will have to pray for him. We ought to pray for one another more.
because the slant of his world and the machinations of the flesh. Yeah, the lust of the flesh, of the eyes, the allure of worldliness, the carnality, can make a man combine many things with the finished work of Christ, so that the finished work becomes unfinished. Look at it again. 3 John 2, beloved, it says, I wish above all things that you prosper. That means that your journey is set in the right direction. What journey? Just get it in context. Verse 3, I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of a truth that is in you, even as you what? Walk in the truth. So, 3 John 2 is about walking in the, what is that truth? Verse 7, because that for his name's sake, they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles, we therefore ought to receive so that we might be fellow helpers of the truth. So the 3 John 2 prayer is so that Gaius will join those guys that are communicators of the truth, that he now becomes a fellow helper of that truth, in that they took nothing of the Gentiles. Gaius will take nothing when he preaches too. Hey, wait. Do people support the minister? Do people serve the minister? Yeah, I am not referring to those that are to give to the minister. I'm talking to the minister. They are not the same thing. Is that clear? Not the same thing. When it comes to the minister, the elder will tell another elder they took nothing. Paul will say, I was chargeable to no man, and I will keep myself that way. The Pauline revelation also includes that. Say with me, I'm a bold believer. I'm a bold preacher of the Pauline revelation of a sacrifice of God in Christ. That gospel has laid its claim on my heart. I am sacrificial. Freely I have received. Freely I gave. I labor in the world. I labor with my hands. I labor within the gospel. I labor with my hands. Hallelujah. Yeah, see, the Bible says they went everywhere taking nothing. Look at 1 Peter. Peter is a bit more troublesome. Look at 1 Peter. 1 Peter and chapter 5. Chapter 5. Are you there? Verse 1. 1 Peter 5, 1. Are you there? If you're there, say, oh me. The elders. Somebody say, the elders. Which are among you, I exhort, who am also an. Can you see? So when John talks as an elder, he says some things. When Peter is not talking about an elder, let's see what Peter is going to say. Yep. So he says, who also am an elder and a witness of the sufferings of. A witness of the sufferings of? Do you know what the sufferings of Christ means to the minister? Because an elder must know it. There is a sufferings and the glory that follows, but there is a sufferings. See, to the world out there, we preach the sufferings as something done for them. When the man believes it, we now say something done for his example to follow. Yepa. Now, see, in case you're not sure of that, look at 1 Peter again. We're going to come back to the 5. 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 20. For what glory is it when you are buffeted for your faults? You shall take it patiently. But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, that is acceptable with God. Look at verse 21. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us. That's gospel. Next part. One more time. Christ also suffered. Leaving us. No. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm forgiven once and for all and forever. Don't tell me about that, Lee. He has left me an example. It's a finished suffering. The sufferings of Christ to the unbeliever is finished. To the believer is continued in service. See it again. It says he left you an example to do what? To confess. To preach. To do what?
To follow.
You know follow? Yeah, to follow. It says he left us an example to do what? Follow. That's Apostle Peter. Don't tell me Peter doesn't know Abrahamic revelation. Are you there? That you should follow is what? Steps. So his sufferings contain an example for us to follow. Our trouble starts because for us, the suffering is a finished work. Everything is just finished. Including what should not be finished. It's left you and I. Anyway, go to chapter 5. Chapter 5 verse 1. The elders were among you. I exhort who are also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Now, my dear friends, when Peter, this is 1 Peter 5. We just read in 1 Peter 2 that he left us. When we talk of his sufferings, it's an example for us too. So when Peter says, I'm a witness of the sufferings of Christ, how? In that I follow in the footstep of that suffering, which is called being an elder. Who is an elder? An elder is a minister or a saint who has made up his mind out of doctrine to follow the example of Jesus. He's not just a word man, he follows in the footsteps of Jesus. Exacta, exacto. Same. No shaking. Say doggedness forever. Yeah, they're dogged forever. So it says here, so please follow me closely. It says, I'm a witness of the sufferings. He's not talking about that sufferings now in the third person or second person. He has told you that it's something you follow. So when he witnesses it and teaches it, you can see in his label that he's following the footsteps of the sufferings of Jesus. Are you there? And I'm telling you guys, suffering is not sweet. The suffering there. Amen. Let's go on. Look, it says in verse 2, feed the flock of, verse 2, what would that suffering make you do? Feed the flock of God. What will it make you do? Taking the oversight thereof, not by, but, not for, one more time, not for, one more time, not for. So what does the suffering of Christ mean in ministry? You will not do ministry for the money you will get. Not for filthy lucre. Is money filthy? No. When you are doing ministry to get money, that's filthy. Not for filthy lucre. What are you suffering? You are suffering the collecting and the demanding and the taxing of people saying you must give to me, keep me on a salary, you must give to me because I am blessing you every Sunday on Wednesday and Tuesday and Thursday. I was the second person to rise from the dead after Jesus. I was his assistant in resurrection and suffering, and therefore I have a special place. There is a second throne at the right hand of the Father. I sit on that throne, and there are certain revelations Jesus does not have, but I have, and for that purpose you must give to me. So what you then say? There's a Greek word, akika. You know akika? It's a Greek word. Akika. It's a Greek word. It shall be unexplained right now. It shall be mystery. It says, well, follow me closely. Feed the flock of God. Who is among you? Take the oversight. What is taking the oversight? When you are pressured by your colleagues to collect money for ministry, you say, umba. Umba. Don't be so, man. Umba. 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 Yeah, me Sean. 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 Yeah, Sean. 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 No, I bring to you some esoteric revelations. You know, some concoctions. You know, that you have a garrulous expression of God's bounty. That God is good. You know, you never link the goodness of God to this thing. The goodness of God in ministry is service. Are we clear? Are we sure? Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraints and willingly, but willingly, not for filled lucre, but of a ready mind. What is a ready mind? The mind that does it just for doing its sake. Doing ministry is an end in itself. Service is an end in itself. Ministry is not transactional. It's not, I do this, so God does that. It's not karma. It's not tit for tat. No. It's not karmic. Glory to God. It says here, it says in verse 2, but of a ready mind, look at verse 3, neither has been lords over God's heritage. Neither has been what? Now, so when is a man a lord over God's heritage? Thus far in 1 Peter 5. Tell me. How can you know that, that minister is a lord over God's heritage? How can you tell? When he does ministry with money in mind, that's the Lord. What if the man looks holy? He's still a Lord. He's lording it over God's heritage. Because the heritage of God will succumb to him. Anyway, people are products of influence. If you tell them to give their mothers, they'll give their mothers to you. Someone say, that's the result of my ministry. Some results are not results. The result of ministry is service. The influence of ministry is service. Service in ministry, that's more service. Is that all? Yes. It's not for everybody. Salvation could be for all. Ministry, you don't have to do it. If you are an elder in that same vein and cloth and cotton as Peter, Paul, John, all those guys of Jesus. Imagine Jesus. If you come to him and he tells you, you know, I did all that and I rose from the dead and I suffered just for this man to be saved. And then you now come and say, well, Jesus, you missed it. There are certain connections with the anointing. A certain blessing the congregation enters into. That you forgot as the initiator of the church to talk about. But I have come to complete what you couldn't finish. It says, of a ready mind, neither has been lords over God's heritage, but being what? Being what? Being what? Being what? Examples to what? Okay, so in church, how will the church workers know not to collect money for ministry? Because pastor will not say it. Pastor will not. But if the pastor collects money for ministry, then the mason leading the choir should collect. And then the assistant pastor should collect. And the person leading prayer should collect. And so our ministry then becomes money. The money collection center. No. The minister, if you don't remember this. The minister is the chief example setter in the local church. The elder. The elder exists to reflect the example of Jesus unto the saints, as being examples unto the flock. Are you there? Okay, so come with me to Acts 20. Acts and chapter 20. Are you there? Acts 20. Bear with me, I will soon finish. Usually when I say I will soon finish. Who is that man laughing in unbelief? I'll soon finish. Yeah. I'll soon finish. Now, if I don't finish on time, it is the unbelief of that man that laughed. Yeah. So, his unbelief affected me. Yeah. Who am I to resist that man's unbelief? See, I was planning to finish earlier, but it was the man. Are you there? Now, look at Acts and chapter 18. Acts 18. Verse 1. Acts 18, verse 1. After these things, Paul departed from Acts 18:1. After these things, Paul departed from and came to. Okay, you know we read Corinth just a while ago. So he came to Corinth. So what did he tell them in Corinth? That I walk laboring with my hands, right? Good. So look at Luke writing about Paul coming to Corinth. Look at verse 2. And found A certain, somebody say certain. A certain Jew named, born in Pontus, lady come from Pitney with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded that all Jews to depart from Rome, and came unto them. And look at verse 3. And because, why did Paul stay with Aquila? Because Aquila was of the same craft as Paul. So Paul had a craft, Aquila had a craft. Why did, see, look at that language. He found a certain. You seek to find. So it means that when Paul entered into Corinth, he wasn't walking haphazardly. He wasn't saying, prevegedera, Paul, shushto, conamambre, and he's tapping his belly like a businessman with a pot belly. No, no, no. He's not saying, ele fretuko, bossa, nani, a congongo. Oh, Lord, where will you have me stay? No, no. He found. He found. Somebody say, he found. He found because he knew what to look for. What did he look for? Because he was of the same. I like Luke. Very, the Bible says we use great plainness of speech. No mystery. Someone said there's a mythical mystery. There's the uncommon mystery, the sweatless victory. That you flatter. That's flatter. Flatter. Flatter is sweet though. Yeah. So it says, it found. When you go about in a roving ministry, what do you look for? People that do the same trade as you. But of course, if you don't have a trade, what will you look for? No, no, no. I'm an MOG. As an MOG, MOG should not work. Sorry. You are more MOG than Paul and Peter and Pete and John. Aren't you? For his mercies endure forever. The last time I checked, Sekou did not write any book in the Bible. It's finished. My name is not in the table of content. I'm a good student of the apostles. Amen. Yeah. I walk in humility of heart. Now, see what the Bible says here. Acts 18. He found a certain Jew named Aquila. Then it says in verse 3, because he, that's Aquila, was of the same craft, he, Paul, abode with. Please look at the. Can somebody say the next two words? When Paul went to minister in a place, did he stay with people? Yes. Which people did he stay with? Of the same craft. That means of the same job. What did he do when he stayed with them? That word wrought is Greek for he worked, he labored. What did he labor in? In the doctrine by walking. Yeah, he labored in the doctrine by having the conduct of walking with his hands. Walking with your hands is excellent conduct in the doctrine. Amen. Are you here? Have you gone home? Verse 3. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them, wrought by their occupation. See, Luke is definite. So that you cannot say the figure of speech. He said, by their occupation, they were what? Now, if they were of the same craft and they were tent makers, what does that make Paul? Tent maker. So the man that wrote 2/3 of the New Testament was a tent maker. Romans 16. Romans and chapter 16. Remember word forever, doggedness forever, service forever. Is it not? Yeah. Romans 16. I go all the way to, where's my friend Apollos? I said Apollos. My friend Aquila. What verse? Verse. That's true. Right? It's straight. Good. Now, verse 3 says, greet who? And my in. Keep your hands there. Go back to Acts 18. Acts 18. You remember fellow helpers of the truth? Now, Acts 18, verse 3, and because he was of the same craft, he, Paul, abode with, yeah, and wrought for by, was it his occupation or their occupation? So that means the husband and wife couple were in business together, right? Good. Now go back to Romans 16. Romans 16 verse 3. Greet Priscilla. You will notice the order, the woman before the man. It says, greet Priscilla. That means she was a more formidable minister. Greet Priscilla and my helpers in who have for my life laid down their own, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the. So did their occupation as tent makers stop them from being committed in ministry? No. If I said all of the churches of the Gentiles are indebted to these guys. Now, look at the next verse. Likewise, greet the that was in there. What does that make them? Pastors. So were they pastors? Were they tent makers? Did they minister with Paul? Did they lay their lives on the neck, their necks on the line? Did they put their lives at stake? Did they stand in arm's way? So does standing, somebody says, well, you see, Pastor Seko, if I was now to pursue a secular job, how will I be committed in my ministry? You will be committed by reading Romans 16 that talk about our prayers. Well, Priscilla and Aquila, who are workers together with Paul, and Paul said, actually, there's a church in the house. That means their church members knew that they were tent makers. And their church members knew that these were guys committed fastidiously to the communication of the gospel, and they put their lives on the line. Are you still there? Good. Acts chapter 20. Actually, before I do Acts 20, let me read to you something. I want to read you something. Are you there? Look at Colossians. Colossians. That's Colossians that we use for prayer a lot. Colossians, are you there? Colossians and chapter, where are we now? Colossians 4, look at verse 14. 14. Luke, the what? Verse 14. Luke, the what? And Demas, greet. What did Paul refer to Luke as? The beloved what? When he says beloved, it means this guy is a committed ministry man. And he's a physician. And he told the Colossians that Luke is a physician. That means Luke was an example that Paul wanted the Colossian church to learn from. You see, the same way you say Colossians 4:12, Epaphras, one of you, always laboring for you in prayer, and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, just like a minister is an example in prayer, a minister should be an example in walking with his hands. His physical hands, meaning skills. Paul talked about the two, not far from one another. In fact, he mentioned the walk 2 verses after the prayer. A minister that prays, that doesn't walk, I doubt his prayer. Eh? Yes. Because if he's praying, he either needs to go back to Sunday school and learn, or he will follow good example and work. Why? The minister is a very sacred role. Elder in the church is a custodian of the mysteries of Christ. He's expected in stewards that a man be found faithful. The servant of Christ that prays in verse 12 is a servant of Christ called the physician in verse 14. And Paul mentioned both because both were witnesses to the same doctrine. Should I continue? Yeah, good. Don't worry. I'll soon stop. Time has gone. Titus 3. Titus and chapter 3. Titus and chapter 3. Titus. So this is Paul's letter to a minister, a fellow minister. Titus and chapter 3. Look at verse 13. It says, bring who? Zenas. Who is he? Lawyer. So what is minister Zenas? A lawyer. What is minister Luke? A physician. What is minister Priscilla? Tent maker. Minister Aquila? Tent maker. Minister Paul? Tent maker. Now, what about brother Zenas? Lawyer. Now go with me to Romans 16. Romans 16. Romans 16 was number 2, guys. Praise his holy name forever. Word forever, miracles forever, doggedness forever, service forever. Look at Romans 16. Say with me one more time. Ministry forever.
Ministry forever.
Word forever.
Word forever.
Service forever. Doggedness forever.
Hallelujah. Now look at Romans 16. Romans 16. Romans 16 and verse 23. Gaius. That's him, Gaius, in third John. Gaius, my host, and of the whole church, salutes you. So whatever prayer that John prayed for John is for Gaius is working, right? Erastus. I was joking. Erastus, the what? Chamberlain of a city, saluted you. Whenever Paul mentions this, people is talking about ministers. What is Erastus? Chamberlain, a finance man. What is Erastus? Chamberlain. What is Zenas? Lawyer. What is Luke? Physician. What is Priscilla? What is Aquila? What is Paul? Now, can you see Paul? See, it's not only Paul. There are many. Many in scripture. The doctrine of the apostles is they went everywhere taking nada. Taking zilch. Zero. Nothing. Somebody said, well, but I know a big name minister. I'm not talking big name minister. I'm talking doctrine of the word of God. Amen. Yeah, we're talking doctrine of the word of God. Word of God. You see, as an elder. See, I'm not even talking to... See, amen. Acts and chapter 20. Acts 20, verse 17. I'm from Miletus. Somebody say Miletus. I'm from Miletus. He sent to Ephesus and called the what? You see, anytime we're in this elders' territory, these things come out. He called the elders of the. Verse 27. For I have not shunned. You see that shunning thing again? To declare unto you all the counsel of God. Unto who? Elders of the church. Are you following? So Paul is telling the elders of the church what he declared unto them, that he called the whole council. Look at verse 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock. Is he talking to the flock or to the elders? Excellent. So we're now seeing what is the counsel of God to elders. Are you there? What do they do? Feed the church of God which he has purchased with his own. 29. I know this. After my departing shall grievous wolves. Who are the grievous wolves? Certain elders. Not sparing the. Yeah. See, Paul, as a figure of speech, referred to ministers as grievous wolves. Look at verse 30. And of your own selves. In other words, you guys, that me, myself, and I personally trained you in ministry. It says, of your own selves shall men arise. Speaking what? Drawing away disciples after them. Therefore, watch. And that by the space of, I cease not to warn every one of you night and day with tears. How the Paul trained ministers. He warned them night and day. He cried. He wept. He was talking to them about something that ministers have a tendency to ignore. He didn't start today. Paul said, these were the same guys in Acts 19 that he had taught extensively in the school of Tyrannus. Now in Acts 20, he's now calling them for a minister's conference. And say, remember, guys, for 3 solid years, night and day, I gave you guys a particular counsel over which I wept. Yet, some of you will not spare the flock. Now, do you understand why John will pray for Gaius? And I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. That a man stands perfect and complete in all the will of God. Look at it again. It says in verse are we in? 31. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I see not the one everyone you were there night and day with tears. And now, brethren. Yeah, let me skip. Look at 33. Time has gone, that's why I'm skipping. Look at 33. I have coveted no man's or what did he counsel them about? Silver, gold. Opera. Do we speak to ministers about money? Yes. Do we speak to ministers about their needs? Yes. And he said, when I was speaking to you about your needs, I cried.
I wept. I gave you God's counsel. It was day and night. It was over 3 years, and there will still be ravenous wolves that would not listen to it. That's solemn. But what did Paul say? Look at me, guys. I did not covet anybody's silver, anybody's gold, anybody's apparel. That means ministers need silver, they need gold, and they need apparel. So what must he have told them? Look at the next verse. Yes, you yourselves know that these what? What was it that he told them crying? These hands of mine. What did he tell them crying? These hands of mine. In other words, we said, minister, brother Timothy, do you have need? And Timothy will have said, yes, sir. And Paul will have said, oh, these hands of mine. And Timothy will have been like, tell me one other revelation. Which one is this hand of yours? Now, how did I got you? Yeah. Now, are you back? Don't depart from me, guys. Yeah. Don't depart. Yes, you yourselves know. In other words, he's telling them what I'm talking about. You know that these hands have ministered unto my. What did he just call his necessities in the previous verse? Silver, gold, and clothes. How did Paul get his silver, gold, and clothes? No. While he was ministering and the anointing was hot and it was gyrating between heaven and earth, between the finished and unfinished work of Christ, somebody got up and then just said, I'm going to sow into the man of God. And the man of God said, come ye all ye that are heavy laden with dollars and pounds, and I will give you rest. And then they took it. Is that what happened? He said, No. That wasn't what I did. You yourselves know. These hands of mine. That these hands is a figure of speech for my skills. My skills. In Acts 18, it will be as a tent maker. Because Paul expects the man reading Acts 20 to have read Acts 18. Say with your neighbor. Neighbor, 18 comes before 20. So when he says these hands in 20, it means tent making in 18. Is that a mystery? No, sir. Now, so it says here, it says, yes, you know that his hands have ministered unto my necessities. So what does one minister of the gospel tell another minister of the gospel in the face of need? These hands of mine. It's not many. So no. It's unusual favor. There's this unusual working of God that follows my ministry. Just when the need wants to come, there's this thing that just vomits abundance. Is that what Paul taught them? That the answer was so simple. It was so simple, you have to cry. He said, it's these hands of mine. I've ministered unto what? My necessities, and to them that were what? In other words, I actually was able to support others. Hey, do people give to ministers? Did they give to Paul? Yes. What did Paul tell other ministers was a secret for getting his needs met? These hands of mine, my skills, yeah, them skills written in Acts 18. Are you there? Now, so it says, verse 35, I have showed you, can you see what it means by all the counsel now? What is the all things that he showed them? How to get your needs met by using your hands as an extension of the gospel. That gospel you preach demands that your conduct in that gospel is that you work. Amen. Amen, amen. So it says, I have showed you all things, how that laboring. In other words, guys, when I trained you in ministry, I told you to identify with my example. The way I labored is the way you should labor. Look at it again. How that so laboring you what? You Otto. Was it Paul's choice or an Otto? Otto, not choice. Not that was Paul's style. No, you Otto. I showed you so that you Otto. Say, I Otto. Yeah, I'm a Paul man. I Otto. I'm a Peterian. But you know what is funny? If you were to follow Peter and John, you will not know that they should give to man of God. You know, you cannot read anywhere in the writings of Peter or James or John or Jude, or in the prophetic revelation of Revelation, or the clear statement of 1st, 2nd, or 3rd John and know that the thoughts given to ministers. The only person you can get that from is the man that said, I showed you, so labor. Amen. So labor. So I've told you tonight about two kinds of labor. One gives birth to the other. The first labor is in doctrine. And there's a labor with the hands, which is your conduct in the labor you did with your mouth. So as you study the scripture, that study, talking about Christ as the object of scripture, means that you will display his example to others by laboring like he labored. Amen. You know, somebody said, well, Jesus did not work. Yeah, we won't go into that this evening, but he did. When he, in Mark 6, when he went to his own country, he said, is this not the? They didn't say, was this not? Is this not? Is this not his sister Joseph? What, not past? His brother who are here with us? So the carpentry with us. His brothers with us. His sisters with us. How are he then said, ah, the prophet is not with us. I'm really a prophet, but all you can see is carpenter. Anyway, leave that aside, but just relax. So a minister ought to walk. In fact, you'd be amazed what Paul based walking on. Look at Acts 20 again. Acts 20 says, Acts 20, I have 6 more minutes and I stop. Acts 20, it says, verse 35, I have showed you. Now, you see that word showed you, that word showed you there, is a word that means to give an example by argument. Now, Paul is saying, when I was walking, it was that same gospel argument I've been giving you that I was giving you. I have shown you. To show means to give an example. A minister walking with his hands is an extension of the same argument called service. You are giving an example unto those that listen to you. How will the church member know to pray? Watch pastor. How will they know to sing? Watch pastor. How will they pray in tongues? Watch pastor. How will they study the word? Watch pastor. How will they evangelize? Watch pastor. How will they walk in love? Watch pastor. How will they walk with their hands? Watch pastor. Because pastor is an example. Is that not too much? That's why it's called elder. It's not everybody. It's elder. It's elder. 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 It's elder. Elder. Better be saints, JJ. Elder. You see, elder is elder. It's an alagba. Elder. Yeah. Elder. Hey, but where will I have time? You're not an elder. Sit down. Amen. Where did Paul get time to go around the world, to write scripture, to preach the same, to be stoned and left for dead, to still train these guys night and day, to be a tent maker, all in the same life that we all have? As an example. He says, I was showing you. It was a thorough, incontrovertible argument. It was an argument so thorough, so plain. You know, Paul wasn't hiding in the corner to say, it was when I couldn't trust God to meet my needs that I just quickly went to the garage to wash cars. No. He said, you know. That means when he was walking, they knew. That means they would have gone to the markets of Athens and they would have seen Paul doing tent making. And they say, oh God, Paul. And Paul will say, we'll meet in the evening. We'll meet in the evening. Yeah, we'll meet in the evening. And in the evening, he will then preach all night. And when it's morning, he goes to make tents. And in the evening, he preaches all night. And often, he will go to another town. First thing he does, looks for another man that is of the same trade. Somebody says, you see, Jesus said that if you enter into a place, look for somebody that is worthy to host you. Who is worthy to host you? Somebody of the same trade. Yeah? Follow the Bible thoroughly. It's of the same trade. It's not mystery. Somebody of the same trade. Say, I met a millionaire that told me that I never need to walk again. And that anywhere I just come, I should just enter. And I would just say, I'm the apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. I taught Jesus upon Ephesus. And just says, prophet of God. And I say, yes, sir. I prepared for you an upper chamber. You never need to walk again. For how could a man like you not walk? And you should answer, how will a man like me not walk? Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's say together, word forever. Gospel forever. Service forever. Miracles forever. The supernatural forever. Solid examples forever. Service forever. Doggedness forever. Glory! 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 Hallelujah.
Amen. Sit down. Sit down. How many more minutes do I have?
I have 2 more minutes. Pastor does come towards me. Does as I am with our own plea. I call. Now, verse 35. I have showed you all things. How that soul laboring. Say soul laboring. You ought to support the weak.
Somebody says, have you ever found a place where it is ministers that give of the saints? The Bible says, Paul said, you ought to
support the weak. And to remember the words.
Imagine the authority that Paul is quoting for what he teaches. The words of the Lord Jesus. In other words, a minister working to support others is a teaching of Jesus.
See what he says. How did Jesus teach it?
How he said, it is more to give than to.
It is more to give than to. What does it mean? It's more blessed to give than to receive.
Give yourself to working so as to support others. For in working to support others, that is blessedness in itself. Rise up your feet, everybody.
Hold the hand of the person next to you. Pastor, please come. Praise God. Hold the hand of the person next to you. And then just say this. You're going to pray for that person starting now, but you're going to go home to continue. That you really want to pray for that man. That he couldn't have listened to all that was said tonight. And somehow, it will still not work. Amen. You're going to pray for that man to be a solid example of ministry. It will be an example unto believers in purity, in doctrine, in faith, in conduct. That the work of God prospers in his hands. That the light of the gospel penetrates. Just pray for that man. Pray for that man. Pray for that man.
Amen. Don't forget, continue your home. Hallelujah. Let's say together, word forever.
Word forever.
The gospel forever.
Gospel forever.
Service forever.
Service forever.
Examples forever.
Examples forever.
Miracles forever.
Miracles forever.
Doctrine forever.
Doctrine forever.
Example forever.
Example forever.
Service forever.
Service forever.